This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Take heed, because I'm a lyrical poet. For some reason, I've got that song running through my head all day long, because there's ice everywhere where I am. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. And I don't know about you, but if you're part of the system that came through the entire middle section of the country, then you have seen ice and snow everywhere, all over the place, and some pretty strange weather systems other places, too. But we're here, and we're ready to talk today about the issues that matter on the Albert Mohler Program. But, you know, I am still kind of depressed that we didn't have Ask Anything Wednesday this week. I mean, we did, but it was a best of, which is radio talk for a rerun. Just like standby in the production desk is a nice way of telling me to shut up and get ready to go on the air. It was a best of program. So I didn't get to do Ask Anything Wednesday and love it and missed it this week. And, you know, I love Ask Anything Wednesday even more now than I ever have before, because this past Sunday, the congregation where I serve as one of the pastors, we had a baptism of a man who is now a brother in Christ who was listening to this radio program on an Ask Anything Wednesday. And it was the day, I remember the day when the guy called in from Oregon, and he called in and said, listen, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I don't have any interest in going in the church, And I said to him, you really need to take warning here, because the scripture says that a Christian is someone who loves the brothers, someone who is part of the body of Christ. And there's no such thing in the scripture as a Christian who is not part of a church. And so I counseled him. He needed to get with a pastor right away and check out his spiritual condition. This guy said to himself, I don't believe I'm a Christian then. Went home and talked to his children, his wonderful daughters, his wife, and he and his daughters, his wife was already a strongly committed believer, he and his daughters all baptized this past Sunday. You know, I think there are a lot of people. The guy in Oregon who called and asked that question was not crazy. The question that he is asking is a question that I think people are asking all over the country, because we've got this idea somehow that being a Christian is an individual matter. I have opened that little door to my heart that Jesus has been knocking on for so long. He's come in. He's sitting by the fire with me, one-on-one. And then I'm going to go to church later on so that I can get teaching, so that I can get instruction, so that I can kind of express my love for Jesus that I have individually all through the week, and so that I can gather together with some other believers and pool our money together for missions. You know, all those things are true, but that is not what the church is. In Scripture, the church is a very, very, very significant matter. If you are in Christ, then the Scripture says that you have a love for and a longing to be with the church, because the church is the very presence of Jesus, the very temple of Jesus. It's where his spirit is. As you come together with other believers as living stones in that temple that he is building of his church, he loves the church. If you don't love the church, then you don't share in his spirit. That's what the New Testament is teaching. What I want to know from you is, why is it that the church seems to be such an afterthought for so many professing Christians in American culture? And what do you think we can do to change that? Give me a call. New number today, because we are in a different studio. Thankfully, Salem Louisville is allowing us to use their studio, because ours is currently under ice. So we've got a new number, 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. Do you think that the church is being really adequately emphasized in evangelical Christianity in America? Maybe in your church you found a way to do it, in which the church is vibrant and the church is really received in a way in which people love it. I'm part of a church that's that way, not because of me. It was that way long before I ever got there. Maybe your church is that way. Maybe you have a church that really does a good job of pointing people to the importance of the body of Christ. Tell us how you do it. And let me know why you think it is that the church seems to be such such a second-place idea for so many professing Christians. Give me a call at 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. We're here today on a Friday while Albert Mohler is out of town. He is coming into airspace, probably even as we speak, coming back into town after having been in Turkey for the past week and a half or so. And I'm glad to be here with you. It's Russell Moore sitting in. I'm doing it for the children. Well, that's what former Governor Blagojevich has said. Stood up after, did you see this thing? It is the most ridiculous display that I have seen in a long time, and that is saying something. I don't have audio because of our icy situation here in Louisville, so I'm going to kind of do like the mayor of New York did back in the early 20th century when the newspapers went on strike and kind of read the comic strips to people. You just have to imagine this man standing up after he has been removed from office by the Illinois State Senate, 59-0, and he stands up like he is a martyr that he did all of this for the children. What is my crime? My crime is that I loved you too much. It was absolutely absurd. And if, though, it causes people to pay a little bit more attention to the importance of ethics in public office, in any kind of public office, then maybe this whole sordid, bitter, ridiculous affair will have been worth it. In other news today, the Republican National Committee has a new chairman, first African-American chairman of the Republican National Committee, former Maryland Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele, and he triumphed over four challengers in that race for RNC chairman today, and it took a six-ballot voting process for him to make it. Six ballots, but we have a new figure on television right now to be speaking back and forth about the issues that are going to be confronting the country. And for the Republican standpoint, it's going to be Michael Steele. So we will watch and see how that goes. I read a really interesting article that was given to me right moments before this broadcast began in U.S. News and World Report called An Anti-Women Women's Movement, talking about the True Woman Manifesto. Many Salem listeners and many Albert Mohler program listeners are very, very familiar with the True Woman Movement, the True Woman Conference. It was a great conference from everything that I could see about it. She says that this conference is anti-feminism and that this is anti-woman. And she says that this is one of many, many anti-woman movements. Anti-woman? Nothing that I saw in the True Woman Movement was anti-woman at all, simply calling women to reclaim the glories of motherhood, of nurturing, of femininity, of all of these things. But she sees it as anti-woman, and she said, why don't men form groups to campaign against other men? Am I missing something? If any of you out there know of such a group, then please post about it. Well, no, there are no men's movements protesting against men, but the True Woman Movement isn't protesting against women. It's saying there's a better way to be a woman than what the culture says, which is exactly what so many men's movements have said. Everything from Promise Keepers to the Million Man March. Hey, you don't have to abandon your babies. Hey, you don't have to refuse to take care of your responsibilities. True Woman Conference is saying to women who often are being told by the culture constantly, what you do doesn't matter at all. Oh, yes, it does. It matters tremendously. So, I don't understand it. And also, in this article today, absolutely throws me because Southern Illinois University, according to USA Today, drafted a new plagiarism policy in 2007, and now it appears that the plagiarism policy has been plagiarized from Indiana University. And the folks at Indiana University say, well, we're sure it was unintentional. I'm sure it is completely inadvertent, says the lady who wrote the policy for Indiana University. That's a difficult situation to be in. Talk about a difficult situation. There are many people sitting out in houses all over this country on Sunday mornings, kicked back in a lazy boy, laying on the couch, out puttering around in the yard. They believe themselves to be Christians, but they just don't think they have time for the church. I don't think there's such a thing as a Christian who doesn't love the church. And there are many professing Christians who disagree with me. Do you? I mean, what would you say to somebody
30.
Who says to you, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church? Give me a call. Let me know. 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. And let me know how you would respond to someone who says, hey, do I really have to go to church to follow Jesus? I've just got better things to do. I can sit home and do my private, quiet time devotionals. 502-571-2428. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the church. I think that there are a lot of professing Christians, a really, really huge number of professing Christians, who believe themselves to be in Christ, but somehow see a distinction between being in Christ and being part of the church. By the church, I am not referring here simply to that global body of all believers in Christ. I believe in that. But I think that the Scripture teaches, the New Testament teaches, that a believer in Christ is going to be situated within a local, real, palpable, flesh and blood body of believers. But I think that often we minimize the centrality of the church. Sometimes I think even people who go to church, people who are regularly active in the church, who don't see the mystery and the glory of what it means to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know from you, what can we do to turn that around? What do you think that local churches can do to make sure that our people and the people that we're calling to Christ understand and see the beauty and the glory and the vibrancy of the local church? Give me a call, 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT, and let me know what you think. How can we reclaim the church as evangelical Christians? 502-571-2428. But first, on the line is a friend of mine, David Platt. He is a senior pastor of the church at Brook Hills in Birmingham, Alabama. And David is one of my favorite people and one of my favorite preachers in the entire world. If I had to say, you've got to listen to three people every single week for the rest of your life, David Platt is on that list of three, because I'm already doing it. I listen to him all the time and always benefit from David's mind and also his heart and his passion for the truth of God, but not just the truth of God, for the people of God and for the church of God. And I am really glad. David Platt, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks, Dr. Moore. It's an honor to be on here with you.
Good to have you here. We're talking about the church today, David, and I know that this is something that's part of your thought process and prayer life all of the time. Why do you think it is that so many people in American culture are willing to say, I love Jesus, but I can give or take the church?
It's funny that even talking about this with you today, I'm actually preparing to, we're diving in on this Sunday to in the church that I pastor, the importance of the local church and membership in the local church. And I think there's a lot of reasons why folks, even Christians, well-meaning Christians in many cases, are hesitant to commit their lives to the church. I think there's the individualism that just pervades our culture, and people are independent. We're a self-reliant, self-sufficient people that think we can do this Christianity thing on our own. And,
mm-hmm.
and so a picture of mutual submission or accountability or interdependence with other believers just seems like an option for us. I think a lot of folks are indifferent. I think they just think, well, that's just an unnecessary formality to be a part of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's just flat immaturity in some cases to for people who say, and I talk with folks a lot, often, who say, well, I love Christ, I just don't like the church. And man, when I hear statements like that, I think this is a This is the bride of Christ. If I went up to somebody and said, "Man, I love you, but I just can't stand your wife," I don't think that would be a compliment. But I think when we say things like that, we show we've got some room to grow in our maturity and our Christianity. And I think then there's just an indecisive nature. I think a lot of folks are content to kind of date the church and go to the church on Sunday morning that feels like best to go to on that particular day. And then I think in some senses we just are ignorant about the whole importance of the local church. And to be honest, I think a local church has contributed to that. I think with the way we have lowered the value of what it means to be a member of a local church, we've contributed to a half-hearted approach to why we would even need to be a part of the church.
You know, David, one of the things I find really interesting is when I teach on church discipline in churches and talk people through what the New Testament teaches about church discipline, you know what is the hardest thing often for people to get is why this would be a penalty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when the unrepentant man is handed over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, oftentimes I'll kind of get this blank look, and people will say, well, you know, yeah, he's just being removed from the church, as though that is kind of like being taken off of the rolls of the PTA or the Rotary Club. And after all, he can just go down the street and have his membership somewhere else at the Second Corinthian Church or whatever. It's because they don't really see the fact that the church is the body of Christ speaking with the Spirit of Christ when the church is rightly judging and discerning.
Yeah, I've actually been looking back through 1 Corinthians chapter 5 this week, and man, I've just been reminded that just seems like such a foreign picture when you look at contemporary church models, contemporary church growth practices. I think there's a lot we've got to recover when it comes to church discipline, church restoration, and even I've just been reminded of the responsibility that I have as a pastor to shepherd a people that I'm supposed to give an account for, according to Hebrews 13. This is a humbling picture, and yet it is where Christ has chosen to invest his authority in the world, that we have the fullness of Christ in the church, and God has chosen to show his glory to the world most clearly through the bride of Christ, through the church. And as a result, we've got to place a high importance on our part in a local church as members of a local church, and then also just using the gifts and skills that by his Spirit and by his grace he's entrusted to us to build up the local church for the advancement of his kingdom to all nations.
What do you do, David, in your church to try to communicate to your people? I'm not talking about the people on the outside, but I mean your people who are attending every week, what it means to love the church.
We are actually just diving into that whole picture because, well, to be honest, I think even the church I've pastored, I've been here a couple of years now, but I've realized that there's not a lot of value that we have for a while placed on what it means to be a part of this local church. And so we're diving back into what does it mean to be a covenant community? What does it mean to be in covenant with each other? What does it mean to really share life with each other? I think there's this tendency, particularly in the style church I pastor, for there to be a lot of nominal attenders who come and listen to the music and hear somebody speak and then kind of move on. But what does it really mean to share life? And we place a huge emphasis we have over the last about a year and a half on small groups, on sharing life in the context of relationships where people know
One
you,
minute.
Where people are watching out for your spiritual walk, for people who are sensitive to areas you might be struggling, who are loving enough to confront you when you begin to stray away from Christ. And then on a whole, just we need to be in the context of those relationships where we're able to carry out the one another's that we see all over the New Testament, loving, serving, caring for one another.
I wonder about you, listener. Why do you love your church? Or why do you not really care about the church? Give me a call, 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. Maybe you are part of a really, really good church that has taught you to love the body of Christ. Tell me why that is, 502-571-2428. Or maybe you're somebody who says, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian, but the church, helpful, sometimes not. Give me a call, 502-571-2428, and tell me why. I won't bite you. I'll listen to you. Give me a call. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we'll be right back to talk about the church on the Albert Mohler program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
I don't know if you've ever had a conversation like this, but I'll talk to people all the time, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I follow Jesus. And I'll say, oh, great. Where do you go to church? Oh, we used to go over so-and-so, but we haven't been in a long time. You know, there is no Greek word in the New Testament for an inactive church member. Actually, there is, but it's the word translated as lost. In the book of Hebrews, there are warning passages for people who neglect the assembling of themselves together. Do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as is the practice of some. The book of Hebrews says, this isn't just an encouragement. You know, y'all really ought to be in church. Kind of like you might say, you know, you really ought to floss. This is instead a warning of judgment. This is how you know that you believe, 1 John, that you love the brothers. You love the body of Christ, the church. Do you love your church? If so, why? Give me a call, 502-571-2428. How has your church taught you to love the body of Christ? 502-571-2428. Or maybe you're somebody who's driving along or working on dinner in the kitchen or out in the backyard working with the radio playing, and you say, you know, I just don't see any real value in the church. I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Tell me why. Give me a call, 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. Nobody's going to fuss at you. We'll listen to you. And let me know what you think, 502-571-2428. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and I have on the line with me one of my favorite preachers and pastors, David Platt, who is a senior pastor of the church at Brook Hills in Birmingham, Alabama. And you can listen to David Platt's sermons at brookhills.org. But don't listen to those instead of listening to your pastor. Listen to David's messages, and I think he'll agree with me on this, as well as listening to your pastor as he teaches and feeds you every single week. But brookhills.org, and you can listen to some really, really powerful and amazing preaching. David, you know, one of the things I find really interesting as we look out at evangelical Christianity today is it's not just that sometimes people have a low view of the church. They're replacing the church with other things. Do you see that where you are?
Most definitely. I think it's certainly common in, the first thing that comes to my mind is among college students with campus ministries that oftentimes replace local churches. But then also just, I think we find substitutes. I think, to be honest, Satan tries to put substitutes before us to say, well, you can do this instead of local church, or this does the same thing. And we lose sight real quickly of the unique authority that Christ has entrusted to his church.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned campus ministry, because I think that is often where people sometimes are taught not to love the church. Not that you don't have some great campus ministries out there, and there are many that are really, really fine and do a good job of connecting people with local churches. But sometimes I'll talk to students who just kind of float from church to church to church, and they really see their primary accountability and nourishment within a campus ministry. What would you say to a college student who's in that situation?
I would say to a college student, there's a place for campus ministries. I think there's a lot of things they do, particularly with outreach to the lost. They're on campus. That's the advantage of a campus ministry. They oftentimes have some kind of presence, if not even a building on campus, that can really be used for effective outreach.
Yeah.
And I know in my own college experience, campus ministries had a great impact on me. At the same time, they are servants, so to speak, serving alongside the local church. And if a campus ministry is in any way dissuading or hindering commitment to involvement in a local church, then things are out of balance at that point. And so I think to maximize some of the advantages that are there for in a campus ministry for not only our own spiritual growth, but especially evangelistic outreach on a college campus, but to let the local church be fueling what you're doing there, and to be accountable to that local church, to be accountable to being at that local church on Sundays and being being in relationship with people that are not just college students that you can learn from. There's a lot that Titus 2 says about getting poured into from people who are older than us that we miss out on if we just are involved in a campus ministry.
Amen. I agree with you completely, David. Thank you for being with us today on the Albert Mohler program. It's always good to visit and talk with you.
30.
And I want to talk to you, listeners. What do you think? I've got some ideas as to why we tend to replace the local church with other things, campus ministry or parachurch ministry or private Bible studies or community groups in our neighborhood or whatever. But what do you think? Give me a call, 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. Why is the church so easy to ignore? 502-571-CHAT. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Maybe you're sitting in the car and you're sitting next to your good friend, or maybe you're at home across the kitchen table from your spouse, or maybe you're in the backyard with your child. Can you imagine looking that person in the face and saying, you know, I love you, but I can't stand to be with you. I mean, I love you. Now keep that in mind. I love you. It's just your body I can't stand, and the look out of your eyes I can't stand, and the sound of your voice. Oh, it just grates on me. Would you really be able to say you love that person? Probably not. But there are a lot of people who are willing to say, I love Jesus. It's his body I can't stand. It's the church that I don't love. I want to hear from you. How can we do a better job of presenting the importance and the gravity and the glory of the local church, the real, palpable local church? Give me a call at 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. Maybe you have a church that does this well. Or maybe you say, you know what? I really think that I can get the benefits that the New Testament speaks of as belonging to the church in other places. Call me and tell me how. 502-571-2428. We have Gretchen on the line. Gretchen, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What do you love about your church?
Well, there's about 100 people that attend our Sunday service. And what I love about the church, I've been a new Christian for about 3 years
mm-hmm.
now. Transferred from being a Mormon.
Oh, okay.
Coming from a very strong family-oriented church.
Uh-huh.
We have older women in our church that hold the younger women accountable. If we're not there, they're asking, why weren't you there?
Mm-hmm.
Where have you been?
Yeah.
So I even find myself contacting one of the older women and say, listen, we're going to go to see my sister in Cincinnati, and we'll be back the following Sunday, you know, almost as a family.
Yeah, exactly. Gretchen, that is a really, really important point, because that is exactly it. That is exactly it. In order to receive the benefits of what Jesus has given to us in the church, people have to know if you're there or not there. And it doesn't matter how big the congregation is or how small the congregation is. There are very, very small congregations that do not hold one another accountable, and there are very, very large congregations that do. The question is, just like in a household, do people know if you're there? Does it matter whether or not you are seated at the table? That's how Jesus communicates to us. That's how Jesus builds up the body, is through those members, those hands and feet and kidneys and toenails of the body of Christ. And so if you are in a place where you are just simply drifting from congregation to congregation in order to hear teaching and to sing songs, you are not living the life of the church. That is not what Jesus intends for you. But how can we reclaim that? How can we do a better job of communicating that to people outside the church and within the church? I think it's really remarkable that Gretchen talks about coming out of Mormonism into a church of Jesus Christ, a real church of Jesus Christ, real Latter-day Saints who actually hold one another accountable, that is a household, because I think sometimes the appeal of Mormonism, which is not Orthodox Christianity by any stretch of the imagination. The appeal of Mormonism to some people is because Mormonism gives a sense of being a family. People know whether or not you are there at your local Mormon congregation. It's a false Christ, I believe. It's a false gospel, I believe. But they pick up parasitically on something that the Scripture says is to be true of New Testament churches. How can we reclaim that in our congregations? Give me a call at 502-571-2428. That's 502-571-CHAT. We have Barbie calling from Cannon City, Colorado. Barbie, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know, Dr. Moore, that I love my church down. I live in Cannon City, Colorado, and we've watched our church go from 400 to 900 in the past year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the last year and a half, wow.
In a year and a half. And I believe that it's because our pastor has encouraged everyone to get into the Word themselves, and almost every week he encourages them in some way.
Yeah.
And also, everybody is a part of the church and has an opportunity to help lead, whether it's with a small group or with, you know, just greeting at the door or whatever it takes, you know. Also, we had a leadership meeting last week, and there were about 250 people that came to that meeting because we're about to start a we're moving into a new building.
All right. Thanks, Barbie. I think that what Barbie's getting at here is exactly true, that a church, if it is a household, is exactly what the book of Ephesians says in Ephesians chapter 4, that what Jesus is doing through the church is he is using those many members of the body, all of those different parts working in concert together, so that every person in the church, just like every part of the body, and just like every member of the household, has a function within that household. There is an economy, or there is to be an economy within the home, in which every member of the home is a valued participant. And that's the reason why you give kids things to do, so that they can contribute to the life of the household. And the reason why the body of Christ functions together is because there is nobody in the church who is accidentally there. Every member of the church is intentionally there in order to fulfill the purpose that Jesus has for that church. And that means if you find yourself believing in Christ, that means that Jesus has a role and a mission and a purpose for you within the life of a local congregation. You may not know what that is yet. You may not see or imagine yourself serving in that way yet, but that is exactly what Jesus has for you. And you know what? I think that a lot of times we have people who are living lives that are frustrated. They seem meaningless. And sometimes I think people think, you know, if I could just get that promotion at work, then maybe I would fill this empty void that I have. Or if I could just find myself more renowned in my community, I could feel more useful. When in reality, it's that Jesus has a purpose for them within the life of their local congregation, and if they would just give themselves over to submitting to that congregation, they'd find it. What do you think? How can we emphasize and reclaim the church in a generation of people who often want to say, I love Jesus, it's the church I can't stand? Give me a call at 502-571-2428, 502-571-CHAT. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Sonic boom you may have heard just now is Albert Mueller coming into airspace in the United States of America, and he's ready for his microphone back, and he'll have it on Monday. He'll be ready to talk to you. He may be jet lagged, but he will be brimming with stuff to say. I am quite confident. In the meantime, we're talking today about the church. And before I say anything else, I want to express appreciation to Salem of Louisville and to Tim Hartledge, the general manager here, for giving shelter to those of us who are refugees from an ice storm here in Louisville, Kentucky, that caused us not to be able to use our studio because of a power outage. And Salem Louisville has been gracious and warm and welcoming to us, and we appreciate it very much here at the Albert Mueller Program. You know, one of the reasons I think that some people who claim to be Christians don't love the church is because they think of the church as some ideal group. That is not what the New Testament pictures. In the New Testament, you think about all of these churches that are mentioned, Ephesus, Corinth, and Philippi. They are all really, really flawed groups of people. And the best thing that I think you can do to know Christ better is not necessarily to learn Greek and Hebrew. It's not necessarily to find a new Bible study. It's not necessarily to find a new podcast or a new book. It's instead to find a congregation of real people. I mean, the lady who smacks her gum, the guy with the pitiful comb over, the kids who are banging the Tonka trucks on the front of the pews, that is Jesus's body. Real, live people who may not always get their subjects and verbs conjugated correctly. That's Jesus's body. It is as inseparable from him as your lungs and kidneys and fingers are from you. The church is the flesh and bones of Jesus. If you find yourself interested in Christ, maybe you don't know him, but you're interested in him, go to your local congregation and see there, even in the midst of all the flaws, and there are going to be a lot of them. But you will, if you find a church that believes the gospel, you will find there, through the proclamation of the gospel and through the life of the people living it out, the very spirit of Jesus himself. And if you will listen and follow, you'll follow him and you'll find your place within that church. If you're a believer in Christ already, get yourself in your local church and say, use me, mentor me, mature me, teach me wisdom. Help, let me stack juice boxes for Vacation Bible School or clean the toilets. Let me use the gifts that Jesus has given me to prepare me to be a king or a queen of the universe in the age to come. That's the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is really, really, really important. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and he'll be back on Monday to talk about things that matter.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.